Let's take our Bibles together to the book of Galatians. We are in the last chapter of this book of the Bible as we've gone verse by verse through it. And by the good grace of the Lord, we'll finish this book this evening together. We're in verse number 11 of Galatians chapter 6. And I want to preach on the text that's or the theme that's in these verses at the end of the book about glorying in the cross. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 11 is where we begin our reading. Galatians 6:11, the Bible says, "Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." You know, as the Apostle Paul concludes his letter to the Galatians, he says in verse 11, he's making it very personal to them. He said, "You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand." Now, the Apostle Paul did not write by his own hand every one of his letters. As a matter of fact, that was a very rare thing. You say, "Well, I thought it was his letter." Well, you know, you understand what a secretary is. In the Bible, they use big terms for that. If you'll turn to Romans chapter, hold your finger there, Romans chapter 16, I'll show you what I mean about that. The tradesman's terms of those that deal with the Bible call this an amanuensis. In other words, Paul had somebody else penning the letter as he told them what to write. That should not frighten you in the least, because the words weren't Paul's anyway. They were God's words. They were coming through the human instrument of the Apostle Paul, but God was giving it to Paul as Paul was giving it to the one that was writing it usually. And of course, God has continued to give it to us through the means and the delivery system. And I've got full confidence in God that He knows how to get His Word to us. And He can do that without any problems and any errors. You say, "Well, what if they messed up?" God's not going to let them mess up. It's His Word. He's too interested in it getting to you. Romans 16, verse 22. "I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle." You see that? Now, that does not take away from the fact at all that it was Paul's epistle to the Romans. But this is a man that is writing it on behalf of Paul. Now, Paul made this letter to the Galatians very, very personal in that he used his own handwriting to write it. You say, "Well, that's not a big deal." I would admonish you to take out a pen and write all six chapters of Galatians out where somebody else could read it. Well, you know, our handwriting today is atrocious. You know, when I was in school, we had handwriting classes, and they made people learn to write in cursive. You can tell how dumb our generation is by just going to the founding documents of our country and see how the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution looks in its writing. Can you imagine if they, you know, today they do a bill and it's about this thick, you know, with all the printed pages. Can you imagine if there was somebody up there that would write all that? Guys, I tell you what, people text and people do everything. They type on computers, but very few people write anymore. It's just the dumbing down of our society. But try to do that right through. By the way, writing is a good exercise for you. If you can't memorize the Bible, write the verses over and over. I taught a Bible class, and we had young people learning. Y'all better be glad that I'm not your youth pastor. Praise the Lord, I tell you what. Look, our teens up in Virginia, they were memorizing whole books of the Bible. Multiple books of the Bible. Every word. And got it right. You say, how did they do that? Well, a lot of work. But you know what? One thing we had to do is they'd have to write 100 times, you know, Philippians chapter 2. I see the joy in your heart. But you know what the truth is? If you had to write Philippians chapter 2, if it would help you memorize it, it would probably mean more to you than anything else you could do 100 times. But it would be difficult for you. And I forget those kids coming in, they would complain so much to their parents, and their parents complained to me. I said, it's the Word of God. Amen. It's the Bible. They need the Bible. We're trying to brainwash them. Right. Your brain needs washing really bad. Every human brain needs washing. And it's the Bible that will wash it out. But they'd bring those pages to me, you know, and they couldn't memorize a verse. Okay, you'll have to write it 50 times. And so they'd write it, right? And the handwriting, I don't even know what it said. You know, they'd go, I, Paul, Paul, Paul. it was atrocious. But you know what this verse means when Paul says, there's nothing accidental in the Bible. He says, you see how large a letter I've written to you with my own hand. It was very difficult for Paul, and it's not because he had bad handwriting, and it's not because he was lazy, because he was broken up. You read down there, is it the second from the last verse where he talks, henceforth no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I mean, this guy had been beaten up so bad, his body was just mangled so bad for the cause of Christ, it was hard to write. And not only would I think it would be his body that was writing, but he had a problem, evidently, from what we understand. Of course, he had probably a problem in every means with his body. But back in Galatians chapter 4, if you remember that, he talks about the infirmity in his flesh. He had a problem. And he said in verse 14 of chapter 4, my temptation which was in my flesh he despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Whereas then the blessedness she spake of, verse 15, for I bear record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Now some people say that he was speaking emphatically, and he's talking about the fact that he had bad eyesight and that he couldn't see very well. And I would say this, if that's the case, it's going to be even harder to write. And some have tried to criticize the Bible in verse 11 where it says, in chapter 6, you see how large a letter I've written you. They said, well, Galatians is not a large letter. It's just 6 chapters. Well, if you got bad eyesight and you're writing by hand, and you're going to have to write in such a large fashion that by the time you get to the end of that book, it's going to be a big book because, you know, you couldn't write it in tiny script or easy script. It just got bigger and bigger as you're trying to write this with your own hand. And I would say when the Galatians saw the book of Galatians given to them, it probably touched their heart that Paul was willing to put so much personally into this letter. Do you understand? He could have had somebody else write it, but he said, no, I want to write this with my own hand because I want them to know this is coming directly from me. There's no question in how hard it is for me to write it. I'm going to write it and I'm going to take my time. It doesn't matter how many pages it takes me. I'm going to get it because I'm going to give it all to them and let them know that I'm putting so much of myself into this letter, my personal self. And I tell you what, that's exactly what God has done with the Bible. You understand that the Bible is God's personal letter to you. It's been written in blood. It's been written by great personal sacrifice for God to get His holy word to us. Some people have said, if God wrote you a letter and mailed it to you and sent to you, would you read it? If He wrote you a personal letter, it came down from heaven and got in your mailbox, would you look at it there and just leave it there? If God wrote a personal letter, would you open it up and read it and see what God had to say to you? And yet that's exactly what the Bible is. God's Word is a living book. It's not just for Galatians, and it's not just for Ephesians, and it's not just for Romans, and it's not just for Jews that are in captivity, and it's not just for those that are named in the book. It's for you, and it's a personal letter to us from God. It's a living, breathing book, and the question is, do we appreciate that letter from the Lord? Are we interested in what He has to say to us? Would you get a letter from heaven and leave it on the counter? And yet we do constantly. We walk by it, and there the letter sits, that God went to great lengths of personal sacrifice to get it to us. So here, as we begin the ending of this, it's a very personal letter. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. Verse 12 now of Galatians chapter 6. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. Before he emphasizes the glory that we should give to the Lord Jesus and to His cross, he tells them, somebody's trying to get you to brag, and somebody needs to quit bragging. Stop the bragging already, he says. Look at the verse. Verse 12, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. A show! Oh my, how much of religion is a show? Beautiful preachers and flowery messages and lights and drama and music, and everything is just as a show. It's a performance. The things of God were never intended to be a show. They were never intended to be a performance. It's not supposed to keep up with a Disney movie. And he said, these people that are harming you and these people that are deceiving you, all they're trying to do is give you a show. And it's a flesh show. It's a fair show in the flesh. And they want to brag about what they're asking you to do. They constrain you to be circumcised. Well, why are they doing that? Why are they trying to get them to live as Jews? Verse 13, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. Just so they can brag about what they've done. You see how this message goes with what we preached this morning? About how the gospel is the grace of God. It's not what we have done. It's what Christ has done. It's not about us. It's about Him. If you're not careful, after salvation, it'll get to be about you. And he said, what they did is they sat around and said, I don't eat pork. Do you eat pork? No, I don't eat pork. We took our boy yesterday down to the rabbi, and he was circumcised, and it was the eighth day. Are your children circumcised? Now that's practically what was going on. Oh, you mean you missed out? I'm sorry. My children are circumcised. You see the bragging? Sort of like in the text of Galatians where Peter is sitting down with the Gentiles, and as soon as the Jews, he gets up and he leaves. Trying to save face, trying to make it look well. No, I don't fellowship with those kind of people. And it's all about making a fair show in the flesh to brag about what I do or what I don't do. Who I am or what I've accomplished. Christianity is not about our bragging rights about anything. Guys, and look, to be honest with you, we need to quit bragging about everything. About everything. Because maybe we don't brag about the things that these Galatians were being troubled with, but we have our own braggings. And he's telling us in the next verse, Paul says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. If any of you had them right, you'd think it had something to brag about, it'd be Paul. I tell you what, if I wrote a bunch of the New Testament, I think I'd let you know about it. Right? Now, congregation, I want you to listen to me today. God from heaven has inspired me to write all these books of the Bible. Paul didn't glory in that. He didn't glory in his education. He didn't glory in his accomplishments. Matter of fact, I don't even read where Paul brags about how many people he led to Christ. Right? We just glory about different things. You know, I've led 25 to the Lord. You know, Brother Gibson, we could let him testify. He'd be on deputation. He'd go to some churches, and if you couldn't lead about 2 an hour, you're out. Guys, I'm telling you, there's something wrong with that. But as soon as we say that, the people that never witness, they see there, that's what I don't like those people that brag about leading people to the Lord, because they never led anybody to the Lord in 5 years. There's another ditch, you see. People bragging about the fact that they don't lead anybody to the Lord. But we have the things that we glory in. Maybe, you know, how many of you have, here's my kids. Here's my grandkids. Look here. I post all these things and accomplishments. My boy got third place. Are you preaching to God? Oh, that's bad? No, but here's what I'm preaching. If you don't brag 10 times as much on Jesus as you do your kids or grandkids, there's something wrong with your glorying. I think you ought to be happy. I think you ought to thank God for your kids. I don't have any grandkids. When I get them, I'll probably be a crazy grandpa too. If I get them. I probably will. But you know what? Paul's not bragging about his family tree. He's not bragging about the fact that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees and he was of the tribe of Benjamin and he was of the stock of Abraham. He's not bragging about all of that. Because really when it boils down to it, we don't care how great you are. We don't care what you've done. We don't care what you've excelled in. We care about how great Jesus is. We care about what He's done. We care about what He's accomplished and what He's excelled in. And whenever we get our eyes on anything else in our glorying, it is not good. No matter what it is. I think in the past we've gloried that we're Americans. Now, I'd rather be American than part of the People's Republic of China, though we may be headed that direction. I'm glad. I'm free. I'm thankful to God where I was born. But my glory is not my citizenship down here on earth. That's not where I glory. My glory is not... You know, I'm afraid. I mean, some people now, you know, glorying in politics and glorying in that you're a Republican. How's that going to work out when Caitlyn Jenner is your governor nominee as a Republican? I wouldn't glory. Now, look, on the flip side, I just almost assume being a cross-dresser and be a Democrat. I mean, that's perverted stuff they've done. I can't see, and I'm not preaching politics, I'm just saying sometimes people glory in their political persuasion, but they're not glorying in the person of Jesus Christ. We need to hear about Jesus. We need to know what He's done. We need to see His power. We need to see His glory. And when we get off track on any of that, you know, I'm a Baptist. Somebody asked Dr. Seidler, been in heaven many years now, they said, Dr. Seidler, we've got to know. If you weren't a Baptist, what would you be? He said, I'd be ashamed. Amen. I'm not ashamed that I'm a Baptist. I believe my doctrine's right. I believe the history's right. I'm not taking Baptist off the name. That identifies my belief system. I'm identified with a core history of who I am and what I am. I'm not ashamed of that. But I'm not to glory in the fact that I'm a Baptist. I'm to glory in Jesus Christ, you see. If we're not careful, we'll get off track. Guys, I believe in living right. I believe in dressing right. But you know what I'm telling you? We've had problems. in the history of independent Baptist circles that people gloried more in their way of life than they gloried in the person of Jesus Christ. And they were more proud of the fact, and I praise God for the way our ladies dress, and I wouldn't have it any other way. And I thank God for their dresses, but the day that you glory in the way you dress versus what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you, there's something wrong with the way you're thinking. That don't mean it should change the way we dress. And you notice, you know what I do? I try to spend a lot of time preaching this Bible. But you know what some people spend a lot of time preaching? Just things they believe, things they are. I've got one sermon on why I'm an independent Baptist. I've preached it 4 times in 30 years. It's a good sermon. I've preached it here since I've been here. I think it's important, but you know what? I've got thousands of sermons about Jesus Christ. You understand? And if we're not careful, we'll get mixed up with that. We'll lose our identity in even something that is good. I wasn't meaning to pick on your kids and grandkids, but I'm telling you, at some point, somebody's got to stop. And I'm not glorying in you know, my golf swing, and I'm not glorying in my kids that won the trophy, and I'm not glorying in my house and my car and the things that I do. I'm going to glory in Jesus Christ. And whether it's Judaizers that are glorying in the Sabbath day and what they eat and in circumcision, it makes no difference. It's something that detracts from the person of Jesus Christ. And what the world needs to see, they need to see how much of Jesus you're about. He says, these people that, because God, you can make a fair show in the flesh and not be half naked. The people that are making a fair show in the flesh and glorying in the flesh are not just the guys in the miniskirts and the guys in the miniskirts. Where did that come from? The people in the miniskirts up there singing and showing, exposing themselves. That certainly is glorying in the flesh. But you can have on, you can be dressed the best to the nines and make a fair show in the flesh. We can do good things for the glory of our own abilities and flesh. And our desire is to be singing how great thou art. I'll tell you else how we make a fair show in the flesh and we glory in our flesh. We're all guilty of it in some way. I didn't look it up. I probably should have. I bet you that the top pins on Pinterest and posts in social media probably have to do with hairstyles, manicures, six-pack abs. That's what it's about. It's about a fair show in the flesh. And guys, when we glory in our bodies more than we glory in Jesus Christ, and I'm telling you, we're eat up with it. We've got teenagers that are growing up, that they're growing up in the shadow of wanting to be something that they're not, and maybe something they even cannot be, because it's all what means more to them than anything is that their body looks beautiful. You know what that is? That's just glorying in the flesh. You know what would be amazing? If you got to heaven and some of the greatest Christians that ever lived were all ugly. Can you even say that in church? Yeah. Oh. Get the face good. Get the hair good. Get the body good. It's worm dirt. It's worm food. Look, I'm not saying don't look good. I'm not saying don't lose weight. Lord knows we need to do that. I'm not saying let yourself go and not care how you come across to others. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, what do we glory in? Why aren't we pinning verses about Jesus? Why aren't we pinning pictures of Gordon's Calvary and the empty tomb? Why aren't we picturing the Mount of Olives? It's still there. Why aren't we glorying in the cross instead of glorying in whatever we're glorying in? As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, and this is the truth, when we get caught in that trap, guys, we will not bring glory to God when we're bringing glory to ourselves. We can't do both. He said in verse 13 of Galatians chapter 6, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. He said, quit trying to impress these guys. They can't do it either. Jesus said in John 7:19, He said, none of you keep the law. None of you do what it says. Why are you glorying in what you've done? Why would we ever glory in what we try to do? Because we're always short. We always come short of the glory of God. But we want to let the things that we think we've got down good shine because we want others to think that we're not a bunch of losers. And at least we got some things together. Instead of humbling ourselves, saying, you know, when a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. That's verse 3 of this chapter. That's good preaching, preacher. Amen. We all need a good dose of that. Let's just start giving credit to God. God's good. Jesus is such a blessed. Look, verse 14. So he says, glory in the cross. Verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. He's going to glory in the cross. Now, I have to say this because being a missionary for 10 years overseas, there were people that they got that mixed up. They thought glorying in the cross was wearing a piece of jewelry. He's not talking about glorying in the emblem. I mean, the Catholics think they have, but they have not. If they could get pieces of the wooden cross and they would put it in places and worship that piece of the wooden cross that Jesus wrote. Well, that's a hoax. It's not true. They don't have that. But even if they did, he's not saying glory in that wooden tree. He's talking about glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory in the place where your sins got paid. Glory in the place where you got forgiven. Glory in the place where you got justified. Glory in the place where you got a new life and a new start and you got a new family. And the power of sin was broken over your life. Glory in that. And that's why I went on to say, is it verse number 16 there? Verse number 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision, but a new creature. Glory in the fact that that cross of Jesus made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. He said circumcision didn't do anything for you. He said that in chapter 5 and verse 6. Neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. It's not going to help you at all. It didn't help you with God. He said 1 Corinthians 7:19, circumcision is nothing. It's nothing. It doesn't mean anything. But oh, that cross. That cross meant everything. You know what? I'm afraid sometimes we sing the songs about our Savior on the cross and it doesn't bring the tear to our eye anymore. And the glory is not there anymore. Because the glitter of other things have manifested its glory in our lives. Why did he say, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? That's the place of victory. It's the place of finality. I remember that old song that guy, I don't even know who he was. He couldn't have speak English, came to the church one day. He got up with a guitar and he just started playing. He said, the devil can't get me now. Whole song, the devil can't get me now. Because the cross of Jesus Christ took care of it. There's nothing he can do. He said, it is finished. It's a place of finality. It's a place of eternity. That's why I should glory in it. That's a whole different perspective than glorying in what we do or others have done. It's glorying in what Jesus did for us. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this, by whom, verse 14, the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. He starts talking to us about the fact that we need to be willing to suffer and bear reproach for the Lord. We need to take up our cross. Really, in this text, in this book of Galatians, he talks about three crucifixions. Not only was Jesus Christ crucified, but I have participation in that. And that goes three different ways. Go back to Galatians chapter 2. He said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, you remember the verse, great verse, I'm crucified with Christ. But now look at the verse right before that. Galatians 2:19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He says, I'm dead to the world. I'm dead to the law. I'm dead to the law, and I live unto God. I'm crucified with Christ. The law has no bearing. The law's been crucified. It's been nailed, he said, and taken out of the way that which was against me. So the law is crucified to me. I'm dead to the law, and I live unto God. But not only is that law crucified, and I'm dead to it, but he said in chapter 5, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So the law, I'm dead to the law. I'm also dead to myself. I'm dead to the flesh. My flesh is crucified. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh. So the flesh is to have no power over me. The law is to have no power because I'm dead to the law and I'm dead to the flesh. That old man is crucified. And now he says in chapter 6, in verse 15, the world's crucified. Guys, look, you talk about victory. When the law is dead to you and it has no power over you, praise the Lord. You know, when the devil goes to God and points out all the things in the law that I've done, it doesn't even matter because I'm dead to the law. It's been crucified. How are you going to judge a dead man? How are you going to punish a dead man? You know, people are even guilty of crimes. If they're dead, you don't get them up out of the ground and try them. They're dead. You don't electrocute a dead man. You don't put dead people in prison. You know what? They're dead. It doesn't even matter what they're done if they're dead. Guess what? I'm dead. I'm dead to the law. My past is gone. I'm saved. I'm clean. And the punishment can never come. I'm dead to my flesh. Doesn't matter what my body wants. And I'm not going to suffer condemnation from this body because I'm separated from this body. The body's crucified. But on the inside, saved. And now the world. What's the world going to do to me? Because the world is crucified to me. You ought to be dead to the world, church. You ought just not give a lick in a prayer what's going on in the world. Now we want to be a witness to the world and we want to reach out with the gospel to those that are in the world. But we are to be crucified to the world and the world crucified to us and it have no effect to us. And this is the problem. Look, the world had no affection for the Apostle Paul. And that was reciprocated. Paul had no affection for the world. That's why they beat him to a bloody pulp. That's why they took his head off. Jews didn't take Paul's head off. The government did. He said, preacher, are you going to preach on the government? Guys, just do what you're supposed to do. I preached to Milton the other day. Just let them do what they're supposed to do. You just do what you're supposed to do. If you lose your head, just go shouting on victory and go on. Amen. Don't not give a... You don't not care at all what's going on. If you have a connection with the world, then you are not glorying in the cross. If your life is linked up with the world, you're not glorying in the cross because Jesus was an outcast to the world. The Bible talks about verse number 12 at the end of the verse. This is why they're glorying in the flesh at the end of verse 12. Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. In other words, they want to fit in. They don't want to be crucified to the world. They don't want to be crucified to the intelligentsia. They don't want to be crucified to the woke culture of society. They don't even want to be crucified to the other religions of the world. They want to fit in. They want people to speak well of them. They don't want to be uncomfortable in society. And he said, you are not glorying in the cross if you're not willing to suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. The world's got to be crucified to you. And you need to be crucified to the world, even if it comes to bearing in your body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you willing to suffer for the Lord? Guys, as long as we're still trying to fit in with the world, we're definitely not crucified with the world, and we're not going to be willing to suffer at the hands of the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Some crazy person wrote about verse 17, about Paul saying, from henceforth no man troubled me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. They say, see right there, that's Christian tattoos. You see how perverted people are? You know what marks he's talking about? They tied Paul's body up and they beat him and they beat him and they beat him. How many times he said, 30 stripes save one? He received 5 times. I mean, you talk about the stripes that were on. You probably couldn't even recognize the back of his body. His face too, I'm sure. You get stoned that many times. I bet that man walked in, his face was all bloody pulp, and or at least bruised and mangled. Can you imagine if your nose... Hey, you ever seen anybody that really broke their nose bad? And I've seen people's nose stick over here, you know. How about if it's broke about 10 times? I bet Paul was a sight to see. And he come walking in. And they start criticizing the old preacher for preaching till midnight. You know what he could have done? I was a missionary over there in Romania, and there's a guy over there called Richard Wurmbrand that was tortured for Jesus Christ. When he came back to America, he'd get some of the men brethren, and they'd take him back in a room, and he'd take his shirt off. Can you imagine if the Apostle Paul did that with some of us guys and said, that's what I did for the Lord. Where's your skull? Where's your marks? Ah, Lord. What have you suffered for the Lord? Well, I tried to bear up at work when they laughed at me. You know, Paul, I just want to fit in. I don't want anybody to be mad at me. If you fit in this culture, you're not going to fit in with God's people. Glorying in the cross, that is a place of ignominy. That's a place of rejection. And God says that's the way we're supposed to live. Guys, quit trying to get all of your backslidden family members to accept you. I didn't say not love them. I didn't say be arrogant. I said quit trying to get your backslidden family members to accept you. Quit trying to be acceptable. Love them. But your identity has to be with the cross. It's with Jesus. It's not with our family. And if it takes suffering... Man, I hope Jesus comes this summer. I'm praying for it. I don't know what's going to happen. I know the church is not going through the tribulation period. I know that. But I tell you what, I don't know what's going to happen before the rapture. And the Christianity that I see, people's thin skin, you blow smoke through them. People can't take anything. They can't even take somebody not being perfectly nice to them. How much would you read your Bible if you're going to get tied to a whipping post and striped about 39 times for it? See, guys, we can't even read our Bible when it's free. We're trying to get people to witness for 6 weeks. How many people you think would show up if it was posted all through Huntsville and Madison County and Limestone County that if you told anybody about the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're going to go to prison for 5 years? I wonder how many people would show up. You see the deal? And guys, we got brethren all around the world. That's what they're living. We've got Christian brethren. We've got Chinese Christian brethren that haven't seen the light of day for years because of their faith in Jesus Christ. The Muslims are not the only ones that have been targeted by communism. It's saved people. They're killing people in North Korea because they trusted Christ. They're killing them because they have a Bible. And I can't read mine and love mine and follow mine. Paul is ending this letter. He's saying, it's a personal letter. I want you to quit the bragging. I want you to glory in the cross. I want you to be willing to suffer. And he says the world, by the way, the world is crucified. That is a present tense. It's ongoing. You got to do that. Every day you got to get up and you got to be crucified to the world. Well, here's the benefits he gives them if they'll follow his words and God's words. Verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, if this is the way you'll live, if this will be the rule of your life, what's the rule of my life, preacher? Don't glory in your flesh, but glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. If that's your rule, but wouldn't that be a good rule to have? If every church put it on the wall, here's our church rules. We don't glory in the flesh, we glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. That's our church rule. How about at your house? What a rule would that be? In our home, we're not glorying what we've done. We are glorying in Jesus Christ. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Wouldn't that be a good rule? Wouldn't it be great if in every school system in America, there's a big rule that says school rule number one. You got to glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be a great world to live in? He says, if you live that way, look at it. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. And then he says in verse 18, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. He gives two benefits of walking according to this rule and according to this epistle. He says peace will be on you and mercy will be on you and then grace will be with your spirit. Oh, what a trinity there. Peace and mercy and grace. Peace on you, grace or mercy on you, and grace with your spirit will be what God will do for you if you will live according to this rule. He says, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Who is the Israel of God? Well, there's the physical Israel and then there's the spiritual Israelites. Now, that's not talking about the church. The Israel of God, and there's two kinds of Israelites, Romans 9, 6 and 8, 6 through 8. There's Israel after the flesh, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 18, and then there's Israel of the Spirit. You know that there are some people in Israel that are saved, and he's not leaving them out. He's not saying that these Jewish people that were raised Judaistic and the people that were born of the 12 tribes of Israel couldn't have the same grace of God and peace of God and mercy of God in their life, but they've got to get it from Christ, you see, just like the Gentiles have got to get it from Christ, whether they're of Israel or whether they're of the Gentiles. The same rule is peace on us. Now, I'll finish because this book ends like it starts. It ends with grace. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus. That's how he started it. He started because this whole book's been about the grace of God. It's been about faith and grace. And this is what he says about peace. You know, I've always preached about peace. I preach Romans 5:1. You know, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There's peace with God. It means God's not mad at me anymore. I have peace with God. I'm no longer an enemy. And then I've gone to Philippians chapter 4. Be careful of nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, right? I've always preached that. I preach there's peace with God, and then there's the peace of God. You know, there's peace God is coming down toward me, and then there's the peace of God on the inside. But this, there's even another peace here. There's peace on me. No, it's not just in me, it's on me. God says, if you will glory in my Son, if you'll glory in the cross, I'll just put peace all on you. You know what we need? You know what people need today? They need peace. They need peace with God. They need peace from Him coming down from heaven. They need peace in the innermost of their heart and soul. But they need peace on them. It's almost like the difference of having the Spirit of God in you and having the Spirit of God on you. And I don't know if you know the difference between that, but there is a difference. There's a difference between God being in you and God being on you. And there's a difference of God's peace being somewhere down in your heart, but there's nothing for you to be clothed with it and wrapped up all around it. And you got mercy on you. You got peace on you. Yeah, you're looking better all the time. And you got grace with your spirit. Guys, the world ought to look at us and they ought to see in living color people that are walking with grace with their spirit, with peace upon them and mercy upon them. But he says, you got to live according to this rule. You know why people don't have peace? They're glorying in the flesh. You know why people aren't experiencing mercy in their life? Because it's all about them all the time. You know why the grace of God is not with people's spirits? Because they're glorying in everything else except Him. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Boy, when we get to heaven, church, when we see Jesus, we're not going to run up to Him and say, "Hey, Jesus, look at my haircut." I believe in haircuts. God knows it. We're not going to go up front. "Lord, look at the way I'm dressed." We're not going to do that. I believe in dressing right. When we see Jesus, we're not going to run up to Him and say, "Lord, guess what? I got 50. I led 50. No. When we see Jesus get to heaven, we're not going to run up to Him and say, I'm always nervous about when people come and say, "Pastor, I just want you to know I can sing solos." Oh, you know, when we get to heaven, somebody's not going to say, "Lord, can I sing one for you?" Not when you see Jesus. When we get to heaven and we see Jesus Christ, He comes and rushes us, "Lord, can I teach the next time?" You know what we're going to do when we see Jesus? We're going to look at those wounds. We're going to say, "Holy, holy, holy, holy. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that's within me, bless His holy name. And Lord, what You've done for me, thank You. You're so beautiful, Lord. You're so wonderful. I'm so glad I got to see You. You're Almighty God. You're everlasting. You're everything, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful Savior You are. Thank You for letting me be here, Lord. I love You so much. I'm sorry, Lord, I haven't loved You enough. But I thank You, Lord. You're my life. You're my eternity. You're my everything. Oh, Lord, what a blessing it is to be in heaven. I didn't know, Lord, You were so beautiful. I didn't know, Lord, that Your face would shine so. I didn't know that I'd see such love in Your eyes. Thank You, Lord. You're exalted in Your glory. It's just all going to be about Him. And our little lives will just vanish away." They need to do that now.